Hello, everybody, and good morning. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys. I'm Mark Pascal, and I'm here with Francis Schott. Together, we own Stage Left and Captain Lombardi Restaurants in New Brunswick, New Jersey. We're here to bring you the inside track on food, wine, and the finer things in life. You can listen to us on iTunes or download our podcasts on restaurantguysradio.com.
Hey there, Mark.
Hey, Francis.
How are you this morning?
I'm really good.
Mark, I would like to talk about a current event that I don't know even if you heard of. But did you hear about the Italian tourist at Smith and Walensky who'd forgotten his wallet at the hotel?
I did not.
There was the story was out in the press about a month ago about this Italian tourist, Graziano Graziusi. I think it means thank you, thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
Graziano Graziusi dines at Smith and Walensky and then says he doesn't have his wallet. He says, I'm sorry, I forgot my wallet back at the hotel. This is a story that was in the press just a while back. I forgot my wallet back at the hotel. Can I go back to the hotel and get my wallet? And the Smith and Walensky people said, no, pay the bill. The police arrived. He couldn't pay the bill. Had him arrested. Spent the night in jail.
Oof.
And got out the next day. And that was the story that was out there. And that was the story that was in social media. And that was the story that was all around. What do you think? What do you think about that scenario?
What do I think? I think it's tough when somebody doesn't pay the bill. That's not a great.
And you're an Italian tourist. Yeah. Where am I going to see you again? You know.
Yeah.
I think it's different if you've been a regular of my restaurant for 5 years.
But I probably let him go and just say. And take a chance that he's going to come back. That's probably how it goes down.
Do you now? Also, you're not in New York City.
That's true, but you know. I mean, we have hotel regulars. I mean, I had somebody not that long ago.
Yep.
Walk out on a check, go out for a smoke, never come back.
Well, that was you didn't have the opportunity to nab them. You'd have run across the street to tackle them if you could.
I would have after if I knew he was leaving. I went looking for him in the hotel the next day.
Don't be like, I'll let him go. He got away. That's not, you know, that's the one that got away. But you know, once they're away and I can't get them, I won't get them. That wasn't really right. Look,
we really did go to the hotel this morning looking for the guy.
And we didn't find him.
No.
And we actually, the waiter who let him walk out, because what you're supposed to do behind our bar for this very reason, and look, the guy might have forgotten. You have a couple of drinks, tired, and you go out for a smoke, and you're like, okay, I'm going home, forgetting you have a $100 bar bill.
Mm-hmm.
And so our bartenders are supposed to take a credit card from anybody, just in case, you know?
Right.
And
because people go out to smoke.
And the bartender.
It happens all the time. It's in New Jersey, you can't smoke inside.
Bartender felt so bad. So we went back, and we didn't have his name. And we can't ask the hotel clerk if we can go through all the rooms and look in every room for the guy. Although we asked, they didn't let us. So, but I got to tell you about our bartender. He was relatively new at behind the bar, and he was so good. He got up early the next morning, and went and stood in the hotel lobby waiting for people to check out.
Waiting for them to go to.
And we didn't ask
him
to do that. And I thought, well, that was really above and beyond. I'm still at $100, but you know, it softened my rage. So anyway, you're in a restaurant business. You're faced with a lot of choices like this, a lot of gray areas, you know? I mean, there's the classic, if you ask someone to give a credit card number to hold a reservation, they're like, well, some people get offended at that.
Mm-hmm.
But for special dinners and stuff, or when you're totally
booked
up.
But some people don't show up to
right.
dinner, and how do we know whether you're one of those people or not one
right.
of those people?
So like on, say, Valentine's Day, right, you're completely mm-hmm. booked, but on Valentine's Day, the last time we didn't take a credit card guarantee, we had a 22% no-show rate.
You know what my favorite thing that happens in the two restaurants with
oh, I know what you're going to say.
I bet you do. When someone makes, because people do this, people make reservations.
Right. They're from out of
two
town.
Two or three. Not
yeah.
forget out of town. They want to ask their girlfriend where they want them to be taken. So they want to say, we can go to any of these places. So they'll make reservations in two or three or four different places.
So at 7 o'clock, they can say, hey, honey, where do you want to go to dinner?
Exactly.
We can go to the Frog and the Peach. We can go to Stage Left. We can go to Captain Lombardi. And the way they do that is they have three or four reservations in town.
I love when somebody who's doing that doesn't realize that Captain Lombardi and Stage Left have the same reservationist. So they will call and say, hey, I'd like two at Stage Left at 7 o'clock on February 15th. Okay, sir, take his name. And then 8 minutes later, call back, say, hi, I'd like two at Captain Lombardi at 7 o'clock, same name.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have a reservation already, sir, in our other restaurant. Busted.
You know, and so that's why on busy nights we take a credit card. But when people get offended that you're taking a credit card, I like, if I lived in a world where 99% of people showed up, I would eat the 1%. But if on Valentine's Day I don't take a credit card, I got to raise the prices by 20%. So I'm not doing that.
That's exactly right. I have to pay I have to charge the people who do the right thing more
right.
for the people who do the wrong thing.
Because I'm gonna have 200 people. I'm gonna have 400 people that want to have dinner, and I only mm-hmm. have room to fit 250.
Correct.
So I turn away 150, and then, you know, 25 seats sit empty?
Right.
That
Not
kills
to mention
me.
The fact that the people I didn't get in, that's a good point.
Right.
The people I didn't get in who wanted to come to dinner, and I was unable to seat them because somebody didn't show up.
Yeah. I mean, I think, I just want to, while we're walking down memory lane.
So I know a lot of you guys listen to the show for the restaurateur's perspective. That's our perspective on that. No-shows are really, really tough on the business.
For a walk down memory lane, I want you to recall you were in Manhattan, and you told me the story, and I forget all the details.
Oh, yeah, golly,
and a friend of ours said, yeah, what do you guys want to go to dinner?
It was a friend's bachelor party, and his brother
That's
was running
right.
the bachelor party. And the brother said, we were in Manhattan, and he said, and there were 20 of us. And he said, hey, do you guys want to eat in New Jersey, or do you want to eat here in Manhattan? And I was like, well, how do you have, I mean, there's 20 of us. How do you have that set up? He's like, oh, I have reservations for in two different places. I was like, I will kill you right now. Yeah.
And Mark said to me at the time, he said, I will kill you right now if you don't cancel one of those reservations immediately. But the guy didn't get it, right?
No, he didn't get it.
He's not a bad guy, probably, but he's just an idiot.
Yeah, the irony is the last time I told this story.
Yeah.
Guy's brother, who threw the bachelor party, came into the restaurant that night. I hadn't seen him for like 5 years.
Oh, we can expect him tonight then, maybe. Wouldn't
like,
that be nice?
It's like Candyman, and he showed up.
If any of you are looking for obscure movies, go look up The Candyman, and you'll find out Mark's early reference. I will not waste any of your precious time telling you
And
about
don't
the
waste any precious time watching the movie.
But
it's
you can
really
YouTube it.
Idea.
Say Candyman three times, comes to the mirror, kills you. All right, I'll tell the story. No, I can't tell the story. Okay. So, Graziano Graziusi, Mark says you'd let him go.
I might follow him to the hotel. I might, you know, send a busboy with him in a cab. Who knows?
So the story
was... Depends on the... Honestly, is it $60? Is it $600?
So the story was... Well, it was about $200
okay.
for one guy. You know, $200, throwing away $200 is not, you know...
Right.
And a waiter's 40, you know.
Right.
So... What happens is he says, you know, oh, I'll go back to my hotel room and you can send a waiter with me. They're like, I can't spare a waiter to walk back to your hotel room with mm-hmm. you. And for all I know, you could be a killer. I'm not, you know,
right.
sending the busboy with you through the streets of New York. And then the police arrive. And according to him, he says, and he asked the police if they could accompany him back to his hotel room. And the police are like, that light in the cap of our car, not for a taxi.
Pretty sure you're in New York City, and our next call is a stabbing.
We have lights on the top of our car, but it doesn't say vacant. So they're like, no, and they haul him off to jail. And there's this outrage, and among the Italian social media and social media in New York about how Smith and Walensky, you know, no Italian tourists will ever go there again. Okay, fast forward to the 29th, I believe it is. And
29th
I,
of what?
January.
Okay.
And now the headline is Smith and Walensky in The Gothamist is Smith and Walensky may have alienated a deadbeat Italian tourist. The Italian tourist who made headlines that he was arrested after he couldn't pay the bill at Smith and Walensky has finally settled up. You'll recall the cops were called to Midtown East Steakhouse last Monday night after Graziano Graziusi told the restaurant he left his wallet in the hotel some 30 blocks away. Graziusi is an attorney from Naples who'd been dining with a friend. He begged the restaurant to let him go retrieve it. The maitre d' refused, and Giuseppe spent the night in jail. That's the story you've gotten so far. Although he insisted that it was an unfortunate misunderstanding, the New York police commissioner weighed in on this. Ray Kelly said the 43-year-old Graziusi did have a wallet with $118 in it when the police got there, and he refused to hand it over. He said he also claimed not to speak English. Fortunately, the patrol supervisor was fluent in Italian.
Busted.
He conducted the interview and determined that the individual simply did not want to pay up. So this is a Smith and Walensky. But you know what? A lot of people saw the bad press that Smith and Walensky got, mm-hmm. and a lot of people will not see the less widespread story that's
very
out
few
now.
Will see the other side.
So he finally paid up in court, $219.21 in restitution. His friend, identified by the post only by his first name, Mario, declared, "Now, in Italy, no one will go to Smith & Walensky again." It's unclear if the steakhouse, which has no locations in Europe, will be able to stay in business much longer. No deadbeats who are going to walk on the bill will come here anymore. Okay.
Yeah, that's not a great loss.
I just, you know, restaurants are often put in these gray areas, and you know what? If they had let him go, they were out the money, and he had the money to pay it, and he was going to go back to Naples and laugh at them. You know what? Sometimes, restaurant has to say, no, you got to pay the bill. Mm. I can't stay open if I let people walk without paying the bill. And there's our story. I want to clear Smith & Walensky's name. I like those guys. Good steaks. And I'm glad they got their $219.
Yeah, I'm glad they got their money back. So listen, it's a restaurant. It's just part of the deal is things are going to walk on you. You're going to lose sometimes. It's part of the deal. It's part of the cost to do in business.
Yep.
So the stories that we tell where the restaurant gets even with the guy who was a bad guy, there's plenty of stuff out there where people are doing the right thing and the restaurant's doing the wrong thing. But where the restaurant gets the bad guy, I'm good with that.
Here's to that, Batman. We'll be back in just a moment. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys at restaurantguysradio.com. Okay, everyone. This is a new feature at Restaurant Guys Radio. We're now going to take a moment in each show to let you know what's upcoming in our restaurants. Make a reservation at any of these events by emailing reservations@stageleft.com or calling 732-828-4444. At Stage Left, we'll host a tasting of 6 vintages of Bryant Family Cabernet Sauvignon. 6 vintages from 1994 to 2001 will be shown. This will be a sit-down moderated tasting by yours truly, and the cost is $495 a person. On March the 1st, we will introduce some amazing wines from the Balkan countries of Serbia, Croatia, and Macedonia. There will be a tasting and dinner with 2 different winemakers in attendance and 10 different wines. It's going to be amazing. On March the 15th, we're going to have a dinner with California Zinfandel producer Robert Bialy. He'll host a dinner with his wines at Stage Left on March 15th. We would love to see you at any of these events. For more information, pricing, reservations, go to stageleft.com/events. We hope to see you there. Hey there, everybody. Welcome back. It's Mark and Francis, the Restaurant Guys, and we have the distinct pleasure of having on the show today 3 friends of ours, Jimmy Kronk, John Derna, and Sean Hostie, who've opened up a hot dog place right in New Brunswick around the corner from us. And it's not just any hot dog place, and we're going to explain to you why as the show goes on.
Hey, Jimmy, John, and Sean, how are you guys doing today?
Good. How's it going, guys?
The name of the place that we're talking about is Destination Dogs. And Jimmy, John, and Sean all met at a bar where they worked around the corner. We've had a great relationship with these guys for years. And you're thinking, all right, what is this, nepotism, Mark and Francis? You bring your friends on the show? And yes is the answer. So
only if we like them.
That's part of it. But we also think what they're doing is really, really cool. If you check out Destination Dogs online, you'll find out that it's not your average hot dog place. What makes Destination Dogs different, Jimmy?
What makes us different is, I mean, it's not your average hot dog or sausage place. And for us, we wanted to create something where we elevated what people find to be normal, common food, like a hot dog or a sausage. We do ours with a gourmet twist. Our chef, John, is a CIA-trained chef, and he's fantastic at what he does. Our front man, Sean, is also phenomenal at just being a gracious host, and we just want to elevate what people find to be normal, common food. And that's, I think, what sets us apart from everybody else. We use fresh ingredients. We make everything in-house.
Well, so and here, let's point that out. You guys make your hot dogs, right? And this isn't just like a hot dog with different sorts of stuff on it. You make different sorts of sausages, right?
Yes, we make all of our sausages here. We specialize in game meats for the most part, and you can just run the gamut. We also have like an international or domestic like flair. Like that's the thing, Destination Dogs is based on traveling and food. So we take the regional cuisines and try to apply that as our topping for each of our items.
Well, I think that's really. I think we're going to get into the the way you present yourself, and, you know, you're really witty and smart. And we're going to talk about that in a moment. But what I love is when people say, you know, Stage Left, we're kind of famous for our hamburger, and they say, you have a $20 hamburger? I'm like, yeah, with fries and bacon, it's $22. But now I can say, yeah, and if you want a $10 hot dog, there's a place around the corner where you can get that.
Absolutely. It's actually $10.50. So depending on the animal, I mean, the prices could go up. About a month ago, we did a python sausage, which is from Cambodia, and that was $13, but it's worth every single penny. I mean, it is a snake on a bun.
You know, I'm not going there. I'm sorry, I'm not going there.
Yeah, you tried to take us down that road. We're not taking that bait, mister. So, but seriously, I mean, and for those of our listeners who know me, you know, I've been to Destination Dogs 5, 6 times, 7 times, 8 times already.
And he sent people to do his bidding
and
5 or 6 times
sent
more.
People to do my bidding many,
you in the office.
Many times.
Go to Destination Dogs and get us some burgers.
So obviously we really like the place. We really like what you're doing. I want to direct this towards John. You know, John, you're a CIA classically trained chef.
Yeah.
You've been a chef in some great restaurants, some restaurants that I've had dinner in a number of times as well. You go and these guys come to you and they say, hey, dude, let's do hot dogs. It'll be awesome. What is your response to that question, your initial response?
I initially thought everybody was crazy.
You are correct, just so you know. I know those guys, and you are
you
correct.
You got that
crazy.
One right.
No, but just the way we make every sandwich, it's kind of like, you know, I had to take a little step back and just think of it as, you know, doing an entree or an appetizer where you start with a protein and you just build from there, and you know you finish with a sauce. So it's almost like a complete meal in every bun that you get. So, and just the joy to take, you know, my style of cooking and just kind of to do, you know, sky's the limit. You could, you know. Like Jimmy was saying, we put, you know, python in a bun and it made it really awesome. So,
well, you know, it's funny. You go around the world and there are lots of places where, you know, the sausage is, you know, you have whether you're in Ireland or you're in France or wherever you are.
Every great cuisine has its sausages.
Yeah. And you know, we in America, you know, sausage American is usually ground, I don't know what, and it ranges from poor to, you know, good processed food. But this is, you're making basically American sausages, right? I mean, hot dogs, it's fun to call them hot dogs, but in a way it's what they are, and in a way it's almost kind of a disservice to what you're doing. Is that fair?
You could call them American sausages, but it's, you know, the technique is, you know, back to the basics. And you know, the beauty of us, we don't, you know, preserve anything. There's no nitrates, and we just use all fresh products. You know, the shelf life, you have to, you know, be a little more attention to detail, but that makes it great. You keep a rotation going and just add new flavors.
All right. Well, I want to ask you about something that I didn't know, actually, until I read on the website just last night, that you, being a fan of all things duck, according to the website, your favorite fowl, you came up with Duck Fat Fridays. That's an FRYDAYS. What are Duck Fat Fridays?
Once we built up enough, like when we make our duck sausage, we break the whole bird down. So I would just save all the duck fat, and once we got a pretty substantial amount, we just rendered it all down and decided to, you know, use it for our fries. So you're essentially just getting French fries in duck fat, which is just packed with flavor. You know, it just we find that it makes it more crisp, and the potato actually gets, because we do it really slow, and so the potato gets really light and airy.
And so the oil doesn't burn. That duck fat can burn, and then it's done.
Absolutely.
And then it's awful. But if you've never used duck fat to cook at home or goose fat to cook at home, really, I mean, the fat in a French fry, you know, it's 60% potato and 40% fry is what you're eating. That's why it's not really great for you. But, you know, duck fat fries, I think that's a really cool and interesting idea. Sean, you run the business side of things, right?
Yes, for the most part.
How did you draw the short straw?
I don't know. I guess I was the last man in.
By the way, Sean, same way I did, in case you're wondering. same straw. I got that one, too.
So what is running the business? Now, here is what I want to ask you. It's really cool. And we should get to the exciting parts of your establishment and why anybody who is in striking distance of New Brunswick should come and get a hot dog. But, you know, you have one basically hot dog stand with a small dining room, and you have three guys trying to make a living off a hot dog stand. You guys are brave. But how do three guys make a living off hot dogs? What's the long-term plan?
The long-term plan is expansion. I mean, we wouldn't want to do something where, you know, we watered down the product. But, I mean, we'd want to expand into other markets. I mean, all of us kind of felt like this is really, because of the idea behind it, it has global reach. You know, I mean, you can plug this into any environment. I mean, like my partner Jimmy says, like, you know, food is the common bond that we all share. So, I mean, it's something that everybody in any market could get excited for. So, you know, I mean, it is a grind. You guys know. I mean, you're the restaurant guys. You know, starting out, it's a grind. I mean, you know, saying that we're, all being supported just off this is not necessarily 100% true at this point. You know what I mean? We're still digging into the well a little bit. But, you know, I think the expansion is what we're looking for. When we all came into this, we see ourselves in other markets in the future. You know, this is our baby. This is the one that we start with, but we want to expand into other markets.
So you clearly have a repeatable concept. There's no question about it. There's, you know, I see it's key note is fresh ingredients, but you have something that's kind of universally acceptable. You have the hot dog, you have the sausage. There's really no carnivore on the planet who doesn't eat sausages or hot dogs. You're not going over anybody's head, even though you're doing it better than everybody else. Why'd you choose New Brunswick to be the dawn of this corporation, the dawn of this idea?
I guess there's several reasons why, and maybe it's a little different for each of the three of us in some different ways. But I mean, one, it's where we all met, and we, you know, this town, we have roots here. You know, I went to school here, Jimmy went to school here, we worked in this town for a long time. We put, we made a lot of contacts in this town, and also I felt like with the college and the theaters and everything, you have a town that's open to these kind of ideas that, like, you know, you said, we're not just an average hot dog. They're not going to come in and scoff at a python and be like, oh, that's disgusting. You know, they're very open to those kind of ideas. So for me, that's kind of, in a nutshell, why I thought New Brunswick would fit.
All right, last question for you there. One of the great things about serving hot dogs what I would think, and I don't know your business model really well, and I tend to eat your hot dogs at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, between noon and 3 in the afternoon when I'm on my way to work, because you are conveniently on the way from the train to my own restaurant.
Right.
But Drunk Dog...
Never brings me one, by the way. Just so you know, never, ever brings me one.
I sometimes finish mine in the dining room before I go to the office so that Mark doesn't see that I was there. Let's be straight up about something. You guys are open late night, right?
Yes.
New Brunswick's a great bar town. After last call, Drunk Dogs have to account for a certain amount of your, because after I've had a number of beers, let's say, nothing I want more than a really great hot dog. Is that part of your business model here in New Brunswick?
That's very safe to say. Like, that's another part of that why New Brunswick fits in, because, you know, we were bartenders in this town for a while, so we knew the bar scene as well, and we know how that is. After you're done with your night of leisure, you always have room for a snack.
Right. We have something you can throw up later.
Well, and it's also a restaurant town where you don't have to be after your night of leisure. You might have just finished work.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true as well. But I mean, and we have several like sandwiches that are just great late night options. You know, I mean, they're for me they're anytime options. But I mean, we have some. You know, we'll get on a Friday, Saturday night when it's busy in the downtown area, and we'll have at that late hour where people would think that you should be closed at a place like this. Like, we have a line going out the door, which is exciting. So.
Yeah, lines out the door, exciting. I like that part of the business. I love it when that happens. So, Jimmy, you were a bartender in town for a long, long time.
Yeah.
And I see you standing behind you're dealing out dogs behind the counter now. Which did you like better, bartending or hot dog tending?
I love working for myself and my partners. That's number one. But I could say, honestly, like, you have to have passion to do both. And it's kind of like the same thing. It's the same process. Building a drink is like building a sandwich. And the reception that you get from somebody that eats it is the same as somebody that drinks a great cocktail, except for after five or six dogs, they're not trying to fight you.
Yeah. Except you don't need to keep a club behind the bar.
After five or six dogs, I'm sitting in a recliner exactly. And I'm camped out for the rest of the day.
Yeah, and so I love them both equally, but this is, you know, this is like a real like passion, and it's something that we're all truly invested in. So it just gives me so much pleasure to serve our product and to see people love it, and that's something that it just makes me thrilled.
So
that's the thing, the aspect I could take from bartending to like this. It's like it's from taking the order to creating the product to serving the product to seeing people get happy about the product and come back. It's pretty awesome to have regulars at a hot dog and sausage place.
You know, Jimmy, you're one of the more charming guys I know as far as your bartending career.
Thank you.
And you're a funny guy. And I saw on your website. You know, it talks about Jimmy's bio. It says his passion for travel is dwarfed only by his love of all meats encased. And you're on a goal to elevate hot dogs and sausages to a level of culinary respectability and to abolish the term vegetarian sausage.
Yeah, it's an oxymoron.
What would you call it?
I'm getting down on my vegetarians out there because I love them, and they are great business, and they're great people, and, you know, they do something awesome for their bodies. But to me, you know, happiness starts at the tongue and works its way down. It's
Jimmy?
Encased meats is where it's at.
So you don't do anything vegetarian in your place?
No, we do. We do a vegetarian sausage that we offer as an option on any of our sausages. I mean, it defeats the purpose if you're getting it on a Charles de Gaulle, which is duck confit and foie gras. If you want a vegetarian sausage, we have problems. But I mean, you could do it if you want to, and we embrace that. We want to make everybody happy.
I love it. It doesn't earn the name hot dog, right? It's a vegetable sausage.
It's a vegetarian sausage.
There you go. I like it. All right.
Absolutely.
Let's talk about one of the things. Here's where I think you guys are. First of all, I love what you do, but I want to just talk for a moment or two about how you present yourself, man. Destination Dogs has this awesome logo. And the dogs are named and themed by different places. So you have the Cyclone from New York, the Chicago Bull, based in Chicago, Bun on the Bayou, which is a shrimp and alligator sausage, tossed with jambalaya, fried okra, and scallions, the Miami Hound Machine, which is pretty awesome.
I gotta say, worst name for a hot dog. Sorry, guys.
No, I got to go on a few more here. I enjoy reading your menu as much as eating your hot dogs. The Slumdog Millionaire from India.
All right, I take it back. That's the worst one.
I got more. The Charles Dog Gaul from France and the Conquista Dog from Spain. You know, one of the things I really respect about you guys is people want to, when they see that, you make them laugh. And then they want to tell their friends about it because it's smart and funny and clean. How did you come up with this, and how much of what you do is message? Because, I mean, you do great dogs and all, but you guys one of the reasons I really wanted to have you on the show is your message is really awesome and interesting and well-crafted. Who did that, and how did it come up with it?
Well, the concept, I kind of been developing the concept for quite some time, and then my partners came in, like, really, like, put those real finishing touches and really made this thing, like, work. But, I mean, you know, it's something that we've all wanted to work together. We all love to travel. We all love to have fun. So, like, the names and the kind of, like, the theme of that I've been developing for quite some time. I have to give some credit to my wife. She made up a lot of the names. She's really quirky and witty. And
I have to give a lot of credit to your wife. I have to get a lot of credit to your wife for putting up with you for all these years.
Oh, my God, me too. But we wanted to relay something, like, we believe at our core that food should be fun, you know? And so to put, like, that fun twist on it, like, I want people to have a great time. I want people to smile. I want people to smile when they eat, when they read the menu. And that was just something where we could show a little bit of our personalities and just have a great time, you know, even with something we take so serious. So we take our food extremely serious. We take our product serious. We take our customer service serious. And the name should make you, it should make you laugh a little bit. I mean, because the reality is we are serving sausages and hot dogs. It should be fun.
All right, I want to know from each of you guys. We'll start with John. What's the dog you're most likely to eat?
The most likely I'll eat? I love the chicken sausage, which is sounds kind of boring, but I just I like everything about it. It's juicy. It's got a really round flavor. you know, and it works on every sandwich that we make. So you can pretty much go through the whole menu and use that chicken sausage wherever you want to go.
All right, go ahead, Sean, your turn.
That's simple for me. It's ever since we first came up with the menu, it's the halimo. It's you know, gluttonous. It's the wild boar. Then you have pork belly, chicharrones, baconese. So wrong that it's right.
I mean, baconese is mayonnaise with bacon, everybody.
So, yeah, that one's easy.
All right, Jimmy, you're up.
Sean always says this, like, picking your favorite sauces is like picking your favorite child, and I feel so bad, but...
Well, think of it more like picking your favorite nose.
Yeah, I know that. I know.
What was that?
The bun me is not going to have any feelings hurt here, so I'm going to go and say the conquista dog. I just believe that's a rock star sausage. John makes a chorizo that's unbelievable, and just like that just gives me all those flavors of Spain that I love so much, and it's just, that to me is comfort food. So I would say conquista dog.
Okay, Mark, what about you?
Comfort food, it's a Nicky Norker for me. That's the one that I the all-beef dog, fried potatoes, onions, peppers, yellow mustard, straight up, in my face. Thank you very much.
Nicky Nork, by the way, for those of you who are listening outside of New Jersey, is a kind of a derogatory term, to be honest. But it's actually, it's one of those like antique derogatory terms that doesn't really count anymore. So it was a derogatory term for an Italian from Nork, spoken by a non-Italian from somewhere else in Jersey. And
it could be spoken from an Italian from someplace else, too. Absolutely.
Yeah,
many people called Nicky Norkers, absolutely.
But yeah? You know what, guys? Most of my wardrobe consists of tank tops and guinea tees, so I'm cool.
Dude,
I earned that name. On
dude,
the menu.
You should see the Tony Soprano wear in Mark's closet sometimes. I got to tell you, I went, and in my own ridiculous ethnicity thing, I'm a member of the Friendly Sons of the Shillelagh Social Club up in West Orange. And years ago, they're like, okay, you need to buy a green jacket. I'm like, where do I go to buy a green jacket? Okay, with the Shillelagh Club emblem on it. And they're like, it's $59. I'm like, what kind of jacket do you get for $59? Okay, sport jacket. And then I went in, they're like, you can pick up the Nutley Men's Shop. Dude, first of all, I just picked up a green polyester jacket for $59, and I was overcharged, by the way. Don't get too near the radiator. And secondly, who wears purple socks? What am I doing in this mafia wear store? It's crazy.
Let me explain something to you.
Yeah.
As a large man,
yeah,
who sometimes doesn't want to be in formal attire, doesn't want to be or yeah, semi-formal attire.
You want to be in a Tony Soprano pullover.
You know, there's not a lot of choices.
Yeah,
okay? It's polyester. If you want to be comfortable, you got to look a little bit like Tony Soprano. Oh. That's really all that's left.
I love it. Well,
those are the only choices we get.
I'm getting you a gold chain for Christmas. Okay, guys, back to the Destination Dogs.
I don't have a gold chain.
Back to Destination Dogs. Your logo is an airplane. Yeah. You have domestic dogs and international dogs. It's all around flying. You guys are going to go into airports, right? That's where this future of Destination Dog lies.
When we get a day off, we'll be in an airport, totally.
No, I mean, you gotta be in food concessions around the world. It's perfect. It's designed
for
airports.
That's what we'd like to do, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I will also say to you guys that having great cocktails in New Brunswick at Cat Lombardi or one of the other bars, and having your dogs makes it much less likely for me to go to PDT in the city. Sorry.
Yeah, keeps in town.
Sorry,
we
Jim.
We can get together in the next building, guys.
That's true. Hey, listen, you should check out Destination Dogs. Your website is destinationdogs.com, is that it?
Yep.
DestinationDogs.com is located at 9 Spring Street in New Brunswick, New Jersey. They're open every day but Sunday. You can find out more about them on our website, restaurantguysradio.com. We'll put up some links later on, and you can go and meet these guys and have some hot dogs before they get rich.
And it is truly worth the trip.
Chef John, Jimmy Kronk, Sean Hostey, it's been great having you on the show.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you so much, guys.
Thank you, guys.
Great.
We'll see you for a dog later. Hey, stick with us. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Restaurant Guys at restaurantguysradio.com. Hey there, everybody. Welcome back. It's Mark and Francis. Hot dogs from around the world, my friend. Hot dogs from around the world.
And as the world has changed, the economies of the United States certainly have changed, and the economies of the world have changed. We've seen a lot of people moving towards comfort foods like this, you know, places like DB Bistro that are making some outrageous sausages like these guys are. A little less tongue-in-cheek at DB Bistro than Destination Dogs.
Can I say something? Destination Dogs, one of the things they really have is they're smart and they're funny. And, you know, it's like I said, it's the message. The message is unified. It's consistent. I think it's really great.
You know, and you said something at the end of that segment that I really want to tell people. I mean, I think that this concept is going to take off for these guys. You know, there's a business side of it, and hopefully they master all those parts of it that a lot of people do and a lot of people that some people just don't. And I, you know, I know these guys. They're smart guys. They're gonna.
Right.
So what I'm saying is go now. Go sometime in the next 12 months, 18 months, while all three of these guys are behind the counter.
Yeah.
It's a show. It's fun to see. And they are going to be traveling the world soon. They are going to be opening up the other 25 or 50 or 100 locations at some point in their lives. So take this window of opportunity. It's kind of like, you know, when you go to PDT and Jim Meehan's behind the bar. It's
right.
It's that same kind of feel to it. These guys are behind the bar of their hot dogs, hot dog stand.
Or
it's
when,
not really a stand,
or when
it's a
we
store.
Went, when we got invited, right, like the first night the Pegu Club opened, and it was like everybody who's now, like Audrey Saunders was behind the bar. And so was everybody else who was great cocktail bars in New York right now. And they were working as the bartenders, you know. You know, the thing about, I made an analogy between our $20 hamburger, and we had a, you know, $20 hamburger for a long time, and their $10 hot dogs.
By the way, some of their hot dogs are $4, so let's not.
Oh, yeah. But when you think, wow, I would never spend $10 on a hot dog. Well, if you put processed commercial meat that you're not quite sure what part of the cow it came from, even if it's all beef and all cows, well, that of course, that should be $1, $2 hot dog. If you put in meat that's five times as expensive and the hot dog, you know, you pay $2.50 for a hot dog and this hot dog is, you know, four times as expensive, but the ingredients you put in are five times as expensive.
Right.
By the way, and they bake their own buns, which are delicious.
Yeah, spectacular.
And you know, it's a matter of you can't put in your head, oh, I would never pay $20 for a hamburger. Well, what goes – then you would never get a hamburger as good as the hamburger made because you can't make it for less than that.
Right, because you can't do
and
it for less.
If you said I'd never pay $10 for a hot dog, well, that's okay, but
you'll never
have a hot dog.
Right, you'll never have one that's as good as this.
So you say hot dogs can't be that good. Well, try one and maybe it is. And it was, and they are. And
you know, one of the things that we didn't talk about during the show but I have to touch on, you know, John Derna is really – he's really into wild game, and these guys talked about that a little bit. And Francis and I went to an antelope dinner, all around antelope, and every course was a different cut of antelope, and it was a really interesting dinner. And these guys are doing them once a month, and I think it's interesting that these restaurant guys, you know, who've opened this great hot dog shop and is terrific, but they still have that one foot in the door. They're doing these dinners once a month. They're doing wild boar, I think, this month, and they're going to do, you know, some game theme once a month.
And what they do is they have an upstairs room that's really a sweet little room, and you all sit down, and it's a communal dinner, and they do a multi-course dinner, and I think it was like $55 or $60 bucks.
It was much less expensive than it should have been for what was on the plate.
And it's bring your own. We sat down, we had a great dinner with some folks we didn't know, it was a lovely time. So I don't know what the story is with that. I think if, when you're there, you can ask them, or if you go to the website, you can maybe email them and ask them about those dinners. But they're worth going to. I think they're once a month and they're a lot of fun.
It was a good time. These guys really, they know how to have fun. They know how to make sure their patrons have fun. The food is really delicious. It is, I can say, the best hot dogs that I've ever had anywhere. It's really great. It's a great addition to New Brunswick. I love when people come up with something new and novel and interesting, and I love when it's a block from my restaurant.
Well, and you know, on our show we've had Eric Repair and Charlie Trotter and all sorts of people internationally, and here's a shout out to some local boys. I think they're going to do big things.
Yeah, I really do.
I'm looking forward to it. So, hey, listen, I hope you guys have enjoyed this hour as much as we certainly have. I'm Francis Schott.
And I'm Mark Pascal.
We are the Restaurant Guys, and you're listening to us at restaurantguysradio.com.